So the things you really want to be able to get promotion is work on some high profile project. So people would know you actually made impact in that a bigger environment. Just really fight for the promising project is something, unfortunately, you probably have to do in the bigger company. I think that is something really important.
Friends, welcome back to Product Marketing Life, the show where we talk to product marketers about the humans behind the jobs and their journeys into product marketing. I'm Sid Kaitan, your host. I'm a senior product marketing manager at Beekeeper. And in this episode, I got to sit down with Steffi Lee. Steffi Lee is a product marketing director in the data and infrastructure space. We got to talk about how she made the jump from market research at an agency to a PMM, and a journey that's actually very similar to mine. Why building influence is so important, especially in startups and as you climb the ladder, and what it takes to get promoted today. Really excited for you to listen to this one. Enjoy. Steffi, how are you feeling today?
I'm a little bit nervous. I did podcast before, but in a much shorter form. Let's see how this one goes.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I get to unravel and find out all the secrets that haven't been shared yet. Very cool. Yeah, I would love to just start by getting to know you a little bit better. Where are you located? Where are some of your interests?
Great. Firstly, thanks for having me. So I'm Steffi. I live in sunny California, San Francisco, actually. It was a pretty nice day, pretty nice feel in the past few weeks. So very happy about the weather. For me, I came to the US about 11 years ago. I went to business school in the East Coast. After that, I joined different sizes of tech startup and just did a part of marketing pretty much for the past 9 years. In the most recent 5 years, I work for the data infrastructure, most of developer, engineer, target type of product, and most of the B2B enterprise sales. Definitely learned a lot from that journey. Also, prior to my business school, my personal background is really more on the customer research. And actually, was I even worked for an advertising company for a while. Happy to share that in that background in a bit more details, because it sounds like it's like a very different, but actually not so much.
Yeah. I mean, funny enough, I actually did the same thing. I started in market research and the advertising business. And I definitely always say that it actually makes me a much better product marketer. A lot of the customer research work and stuff like that. So very interesting. You said 11 years of a career, but 9 of them in product marketing. So it sounds like you went from market research straight to the product marketing journey. Would love to hear a little bit more about that and how those skills are transferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, actually, what I was saying, I came to the US for business school. So that 11 years, 2 years, I was in the school. So that was always a very interesting experience for me. Lots of them is actually really did like lots of soul searching, even though I'm still doing it today. But to answer your question, I think one thing you already highlighted, right, is like really about a customer research. You really train yourself how to do both qualitative research and quantitative research. Quantitative meaning you need to do the data survey, you need to do all the data analysis. That actually helped me become a more analytical PMM than my average peers, I would say in that way. And the qualitative is really just like you learn how to talk with the interviewee, how to really try to get insight out of them, to ask a question in a non-biased way, all those kind of things. I think those are really a very important spot. Also, while I was doing the advertising business, actually, my manager at the time is a huge ethnographic anthropology kind of fans. It was really interesting. We actually did lots of those kind of ethnographic study, went to potential customers' house and to see how they really live their life. For example, when we did like a project for the home appliances for a European company, we literally just like spent, I would say, half of the day at the prospect's home and to see how they interacted with the home appliances and their stories out of it. We actually gather like lots of insight from that. I really wish we could do that a little bit more nowadays in the software industry, you know, because it's like a huge part of your life. You probably, like, less engineers, we target engineers, they spend their whole day to their computer, but there's very little chance for us actually to figure out what exactly they're doing with their computer and the IDE whatsoever. If we gather that piece of information, probably we could get much more insight about what they actually care about and how to sell to them.
Yeah, yeah, I miss that type of research. I mean, now it's like you just have to take shortcuts and yes, right? All you get to do is be on a, if you're lucky, on a Zoom call with your customer prospect and like learn from that interview. So yeah, I wish I missed those times as well. And it's kind of interesting how agencies and others invest so much time, money, resources to making that happen because there's so much value in that insight. So I'd love for you to like walk us through. You started there and then you broke into product marketing. What was that journey like? What were some of those career steps?
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of accident. I never heard there's a thing called product marketing before it came to, even when I was in business school, I remember all my classmates, they want to go to do banking and consulting. If they want to go to tech, they want to become PM. I want to become PM too, actually, back the time. I was like, okay, that sounds like equivalent to a tech job for me. Then also I wanted to do startup. So it was actually a little bit naive back the time. And just like a startup for me is like, you know, big category. Before you actually get into it, you have no idea what it is. So I get into the startup. And somehow I worked, I was like super early stage. I think the time I interned there is like a seed stage. When I actually worked for them like full-time, they raised Series A. I was pretty much the first non-technical hire. So I just did like everything marketing related. I was like not exactly sure what I want to do for functional-wise in terms of my career. But I was like, okay, I want to work for a startup. I want to build something. That sounds exciting. And then they hired a seasoned product marketing from VMware. Then I realized, oh, there's a such a role. Actually, I can work still very, very close with engineer team and product team and very close with product, but you actually don't need to deal with the, I would say the shit with engineer team because I work for a very, very technical product, right? But I didn't have any technical background. So sometimes the engineer was like, what do you say? It doesn't make any sense. They even like hold like a little bit of condescending kind of view to you, unfortunately. But on the other side, you actually work on more fun stuff. Since I'm going to business school, you want to work around more like a business oriented stuff. Like a PMM is like, how to monetize your product, actually, how to go to market, those are more strategic things. So I found all of this actually very, very interesting. Then the rest of this history, I pretty much stayed in the product marketing ever since.
And you never looked back. I love that. Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, just a few of those early experiences. And what I always say is everyone has a stumbled into product marketing moment because just like you said, you're not really told that this role exists. Hopefully that changes in the near future. But yeah, so far I've always heard of people just somehow find their way into product marketing. It's almost like it finds you. You don't find product marketing.
I want to add something for people who want to become product marketer. I think it's like a little bit unfortunate and actually similar to PM. We barely hire product marketer out of school because you feel like you just don't have enough skill set to work on this highly collaborative kind of role. We can talk about that more later. And so if you want to become product marketer, it's actually likely you just go from all different kind of background. Actually, I hired people who used to work for SDR, who were like SE, some people who are even like AE, who are like in marketing, other functions of marketing. And eventually become product marketer. They are all great, I think, paths to become product marketer, but you probably have to start somewhere rather than, hey, I just want to be product marketer by after school, especially after college.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up SDR and AE role because I definitely think those are undersold. I mean, some of the best marketers I know and product marketers I know did start as SDRs or AEs because that's how you learn, of course, the fundamental skills of selling. And I think there's that one quote or something that's like, you know, if you can sell one-to-one, selling one-to-many, which is marketing, becomes a lot easier. So
yep.
I like that a lot. So something I noticed when I was looking into some of your background is you've worked, although you don't work as a PM, you've worked in very technical spaces. Mm-hmm. What skills, what knowledge do you need as a product marketer in those types of industries and working with those types of personas?
Yeah, I can share some of my story. Early on, I worked for this company, as I mentioned, like an early stage startup. They are in the application performance monitoring space. So think about like a Datadog, New Relic, those type. I had no technical background, to be honest. I know some like roughly like front end and back end, but that's pretty much it is. So I still remember, I told this story to many people. I still remember when the first time they brought me to the customer meeting, the only thing I could understand is the sentence structure. I had no idea what all those kind of terms mean. You know, it's kind of scary. But eventually you just learn. I guess it's like you day in and day out. You work with the PM, you work with engineers. The other thing is like, you don't actually have to need to be able to code, even though I think it's valuable you understand some like a basic computer science framework. But like lots of them is like a logic, right? Like thinking about like some people, even in the engineer, or let's say they're architects, the things they're thinking about is probably not like a day in, day out like code, but it was a how to architect like a software. So you need to be able to converse at that level so people know what exactly you're talking about. And of course, I guess another good thing to work for enterprise software for a while is like lots of things are transferable. For example, all the enterprise, they want security. And the security are pretty much the same, like the authentication, like the RBAC, all those kind of technical term. If you're in this industry, you wouldn't know. So they're like fairly similar from company to company. So you gradually just like accumulated like lots of those knowledge. And eventually those really just help you to be able to talk with your engineering team, product team, and your customers. Another thing very briefly I want to mention is, I think it's a little bit different side topic, but I think gradually I also found part of marketing is a space domain knowledge actually matters. Like for example, nowadays, very few company would come to me and say, hey, are you interested in our role? We're in this kind of application, consumer application space. Usually they wouldn't come to me and they wouldn't appreciate my expertise. But on the other side, very few people are able to do product marketing for very technical product. So that's like exactly where I was. I was like, okay, that's great. Probably I'm just going to continue to develop my career in this space. Since it's like you find this interesting to a certain extent, you work in this space for a while and you accumulated some expertise, people appreciate it. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, especially today, right? Domain knowledge is pretty important. I'm curious, for someone who is just starting out their career, let's say a younger version of Steffi, what advice would you give them about how to break into an industry or gain this type of experience?
Yeah, I think one mistake I made, I briefly mentioned earlier, is like I was really eager to try to get into a startup. I was like so excited about it. But I think for anyone who's young, you can figure things out, of course, through the journey, but it's like a lot more uncertainty and a lot more risk. And probably no one really has time or energy or even the expertise to teach you. So I would say ideally, when you were like young and junior, start from like a bigger company with more people around. At least you can see how the success actually look like. Matters a lot. Those probably gonna feed you better for your future growth. Then gradually you can go to the smaller kind of company. Actually, it's funny. There is a guy reach out to me the other day. He was an associate partner from one of the top consulting firm. And he wanted to go to this kind of Series A company. I have sort of like affiliation with that company. So he reached out to me and asked my opinion. I was like, actually, I'm really not sure. Even you are like from top tier, of course, you're very smart. From top tier consulting firm, top tier business school, you're very smart. But I'm not exactly sure if you can get used to the pace and how chaotic the startup, like early stage startup is. Maybe even you want to go to a startup, like the better ideas, like later stage, at least you have people around. So it's also probably better for your career. Like eventually you probably, even you want to become a general manager, you still want to become like product marketer would say the T-shaped kind of a talent, right? You want to be really good at something. So what is that something? Probably you can better hone and just like developing a bigger kind of a space with something more structure.
Interesting. I've only known startups in early stage, I feel like, and I've actually been going the other way, but I can totally see that if you build the skill of working in a larger organization, learning how to impact in a larger organization, even though sometimes things move slower, I can see how that could be a good way to begin your career as well.
I think it's not only influence people. The other thing I want to mention is the good quality of work, how it looks like, right? Because like, you cannot say, hey, big company guarantee their work is great, because we know that's not the truth. But there's a higher chance they have some like great work over there. So you can see. Instead of like a startup, let's say you are the only PMM for the startup, like early stage, probably very few people can give you guidance, even can show you what is a good work look like. So I guess that's where I am from.
Yeah. That's a good point. There's more documentation. There's like more resources that are interesting. Okay. Also, you've transitioned into a director of product marketing role. So it sounds like you've probably built out a team as well. What's that experience like? What's it like to build out a team? What do you look for? And how do you manage the team?
So I think it's really more because an early stage company, and unfortunately for my most recent role, actually, I didn't get the chance to build a team. And we tried to at a certain point, but the company's business was like really, I think we need to be more lean, especially with the AI coming. You actually can achieve a lot more. But the thing is, I did build like a foundation, like the whole function from ground up for the company. Happy to share that experience a little bit more. I think also back to the early stage kind of conversation we're having, there are like lots of things you probably wouldn't think of if you only work for the big company. You really have to convince your engineering team, not convince you, to teach them what exactly, let's say, product launch means. I still remember, I've shared this story to many people, so my engineering leader argued to me, was like, why do you want us to wait to this specific date for launch? The code is ready. What are we going to do with the code? We're like, no, just release the code, whatever you need to do, that's engineering work, we don't put our hand over there. On the other side, like launch is a marketing activity. That's why we need a coordinator. We need a date. We need to talk with the press release. We need to work with the analysts and award the sales. So that's how we need to coordinate everything, have us that day so we can all work towards it. So those kind of conversations you probably would never have in the bigger kind of company. And also, people just don't understand, like, let's say messaging, right? Let's say I do a product launch. I put a message and document and everything over there and circle around the team and I make sure everyone on board. They were like, oh, yeah, that looks good. Then literally right before the launch, after you get all the website copy out, they were like, no, I don't like this. I don't like that. I was like, I thought we already talked about this messaging doc and you guys all agree with it. They were like, oh, wait, what's that? Do I need to really actually read that like thoroughly and get ready for work? You know, those kind of conversations. It's like very interesting. It's really... I would say a lot more on the influence side rather than your actually product marketing skill. Of course, you need to have those as like a foundation, but it's like a lot. It's like to really work with people to feel the process and to make sure they understand what you are doing, what you need from them, and also show them the result, right? Whenever you do a launch or you had like an analyst report or whatsoever, you need to show them the result you achieved. So they were, oh, actually, what you did and what we helped you have an impact to the business. You have to like constantly communicate with them about those kind of impact, even though they don't care that much, but you just like keep talking with them. Like we have this weekly meeting with all the engineering and the product leader. We just show them the stats every time, even though they barely pay attention. But at least you give them this kind of impression. Hey, the work this people are doing actually have impact to the business, those type.
Yeah, and they learn by osmosis, right, over time. I'm curious, as you built out, like you were saying, some of the other foundations. So it sounds like part of it is definitely making sure other teams understand what you do, teaching them where product marketing sits in the organization. In terms of even just general, whatever that is, documentation, the types of projects you take on, what does that look like from a foundational setup standpoint?
I think you have some documents, of course, for internal usage. But again, for early stage startup, so one thing, the documents go out of date very quickly. Secondly, people really probably just hasn't talked about really didn't pay attention to that document that much. So you just really have to do a lot more heavy lifting yourself. Like, for example, whenever you do the launch, you have documented yourself. And of course, you circle around with the marketing team and the sales team. They understand. They have this kind of process. But for the part you actually work with the product, you just really have to reach out to them and talk with them to keep reminding them, hey, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is something we need to accomplish. You probably really have to do like lots of project management. Say, hey, you said you're going to give me this piece of content for the thought leadership. Where are we right now? Can you just give me for review? All those kind of things. You just have to do a lot of project management instead of like everyone will follow you on the, let's say, Trello board or Asana or whatever. That's not how it works. They got their job. They think their job are more important than yours, unfortunately.
At an early stage, I often find that like doing something that's newsworthy is sometimes the best documentation there is, something that's actually external facing, because as you mentioned, you know, there's not enough time always to document everything, and no one always visits the documentation. It gets stale very quickly. So it's like, here, this is what we're putting out in the market. Isn't this exciting? You know, getting people's buy-in that way sometimes works out really well.
And the other thing is like to talk about, for certain things, we just give them deadline. Like let's say we're going to do this press release. And this is the time we need to, the release to go out. Just please give me the feedback before this date. If you cannot, unfortunately, we cannot take any feedback. Maybe for the first time, they were like really mad at you. Say, hey, why you're not waiting for me? Why the things are out already? We're like, we give you the deadline and let's work it better next time, right? So next time they know, actually this thing will happen. We were not waiting for them to just like give it to press, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anytime as a product marketer, I think that's like now ingrained in me. Like if I'm asking someone for something, when is this useful by is always on there. Like I need this by Wednesday or your time is expired and I need to move forward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You cannot wait for them forever.
Yeah. And honestly, I find that executives, especially like when leadership is like, yeah, that's the right way to do it. I don't need, if I don't have time to sign off on this and I'm busy, like I'm just glad someone is still moving it forward, at least in the early stage, I feel like that works pretty well.
Yeah. There's, of course, there's like an exception. Like I remember one, at one of our product launch, at the very last minute, our CEO literally is like the night before the release supposed to go out, want to make some change. So we let them to make the change eventually because his CEO, you know, but the things we also learn from it, the things we try to do later on is like that find the time before, just literally grab him, sit in front of him and ask him to read and say, hey, do you have any feedback for this? Let's just do this like live. If you're good, then this is going to go. So you just really have to figure out the way to work with people. So it's much less about product marketing craft as we talked about and more about how to manage your stakeholders.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's a great point. So this could be a good time to transition. And I'm curious what you're up to now. You know, career journey has brought you up to today. Yeah. What are you doing now?
I'm taking some time off right now. I had some personal project. I got married last week, by the way. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So beyond that, I am looking for some new opportunity, probably not now, like maybe in a few weeks, I will start like actively looking. I think something really excited me right now is with the AI proliferation, lots of talk about data infra background, right? You actually need like a better data, more clean data, more structured data to support all the AI thing, and like lots of a new startup coming out of that. And also because my last company, we did like a vector database. This is completely on the unstructured data kind of space. We say we actually need the whole new ecosystem for the unstructured data, because previously it's all structured data, no matter it's from like the data ETL, sorry to have some more technical term for people who are not in the space, ETL, like data pipeline and monitoring and evaluation, all those kind of things. So I want to look at like that space, like early stage, but not super early. There's another part of marketing kind of things we probably could talk about is like when is a good time to have a product marketer. So from my perspective is you need to have sort of a product market fit. You probably need to at least have a few sales actually selling the product. Then from product marketer, you could help to a dedicated product marketer, let's say me, could help you actually scale the business from there rather than early on to really figure out what exactly are interesting in your product. But anyway, to answer your question, just really want to find some of the company like that early stage and help to take them to take off.
That's exciting. Okay, very cool. So I am curious, as the pro yourself now, how does someone like you approach the job search when you start looking?
So I haven't started yet, but I want to share like what I'm thinking about my approach will be, or some of my past experience. I found in the Valley, and generally speaking, at least I never get any job by applying myself. Directly applying, submit a resume on the website. So the things works is either people reach out to you after you build some like reputation in the industry, your name are out there, or the other way is like get a referral, right? You just like actually go to ideally people who used to work with you. They can put some nice words for you for the hiring manager and just connect you with hiring manager and just get opportunity over there and start the conversation. So that is my experience. So for me specifically right now, I think it's going to be more targeted search. I'm probably just going to have a list of the company I'm interested in, and I try to find the people I could connect with those company, or with the hiring manager, who may not be in that company, but have connected with hiring manager, and put some words for me over there and to see how it goes. The other thing I was thinking about, actually, I always have some spare time. I'm also trying to do some project, just really to tear down the website, the messaging positioning of certain company. Not necessarily I'm interested, because you don't want to do that, to share that to the people, because they have the full insider information, you don't, but something adjacent, right? You can show them actually your approach, how you think about things, and maybe some like a suggestion could potentially apply to them. So to build those kind of a portfolio and write a few blogs to talk about that could be helpful as well. That is something actually I plan to do.
I like that. That's a little unconventional. I always say that right now, especially when people come with advice, I have like, I recognize that it's difficult. And that's why I think it's so important to do what you're suggesting, which is one, fall in love with like an industry or specific area you want to focus on. As you mentioned, talk to people you've already worked with that know that are willing to go to bat for you. And then I really like this like messaging teardown idea, just to explain your thought process and potentially also show, you know, you've already been in the industry, so you have knowledge to share already.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay. So one thing I wanted to talk about as well, you've of course made the jump into a director role. I think even going from a product marketing manager to a staff product marketing manager, what should people think about as they progress and try to even decide, is the director role right for you? Is the IC role right for you? How have you gone about kind of navigating those career steps?
Okay. Let's talk about in two ways. One is like how to get a promotion. This is something actually I've heard from one of my previous CMO. I asked her some like a career advice. This thing I found especially good, I want to share. It's like I worked for like a relatively bigger company at the time with about, I would say, 25-ish product marketer in the team. So the things you really want to be able to get promotion is to work on some high-profile project. So people would know you actually made impact in that a bigger environment. Just really fight for the promising project is something, unfortunately, you probably have to do in the bigger company. I think that is something really important. Like, let's say if you're in smaller kind of company, you actually don't need to fight the project. So the things I even tend to do, not even for promotion, just for the business sake, is just really trying to find those project has high leverage, meaning is directly tied to the company objective. Like, for example, a certain phase of my last company, we really struggling to get a more revenue, like a pipeline. So just like thinking about how to structure your work around that goal, like no matter it's like trying to do some like to do sales enablement, of course, like help sales to be able to articulate the value and to help create some demand gen from like a bottom of the funnel, like a demo, those type of things, try to get some people into the pipeline. Or so think about how to restructure your product launch to make it more revenue focused than the awareness focused. So all those kind of things to actually make impact to the business. So that is something could help you progress your career. And to talk about like IC and a manager role, obviously there's nothing right around. I also have some friends who become a manager, then went back to IC again. I think it's like if you got the chance, just try for it. You may or may not like it. If you don't like it, there is always like opportunity, just like go back to IC role. But if you never try it, you will never know.
That's great advice. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's always been an IC. You know, not everyone gets to be a manager, so it's always worth a shot. And sometimes what I find and what I've been told by great managers is they didn't want to manage, but once they tried it, they learned they were actually very effective and very good at it. So
yeah,
it's good advice. Awesome. Well, Steffi, this has been so good. I'd love to close this out by asking you what I ask every guest. If you can fill out this blank, product marketing is blank.
So I would give you a verb, not a noun. So what I want to say is that product marketing is evolving. So it's keep changing and go with, like, especially nowadays, people are talking about AI, right? So AI can do so many things for you, maybe even like messaging, all those kind of things to a certain extent. So as a product marketer, you really have to think which kind of value you bring to the table. Just like keep contributing to the business. Because at the end of the day, you actually don't run any campaign yourself. You don't bring any revenue to the company. So what exactly the value you bring to the table is something we all try to discuss about and try to figure out. So that's why I put it over there.
I like that. We often don't get verbs, usually nouns. So it's very unique. Awesome. Well, Steffi, how can people learn more about you? How can listeners come find you?
So I think the easier way is on LinkedIn. You can just find me as Steffi Lee and on LinkedIn. It's a relatively unique name, so you probably wouldn't find like many people with the same name over there. Also, with my most recent post on LinkedIn, actually, I also opened a just chat with me if you want. So you can just find my calendar over there and schedule some time with me if you have any questions about my career or you want to discuss about the product marketing or product marketing specifically in the data and AI space, just happy to chat with you. Always like down to connect with people.
That's very generous post-wedding, you know, like very cool. Okay, awesome. Well, thanks again. Really appreciate the time and it's been such a great conversation.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.